You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. Welcome to the show. This podcast is about creativity, the professional aspects of creativity. Well, you could also say it's about creative thinking. You see, a career in a creative profession typically means carving your own path and making a lot of important decisions alone. And when competition is fierce and the market's uncertain, getting firsthand insight can really help. Join me as I interview full-time creative professionals and ask them to reflect on these really important moments in their career. Each episode, my guests open up about significant and sometimes even subtle choices that have led to their success. I know it can feel lonely out there, so I hope you find their stories as inspiring as I do. That's the sound I woke up to when I first got settled into Australia. This episode was recorded in Sydney. After 30 hours of traveling and a day or two of jet lag, I was able to hit the ground running, and that's when I made contact with Matthew Woodward. He's a Sydney-based creative director, designer, and photographer. I met up with him at his apartment in a section called Elizabeth Bay. The building's incredible. It's an Art Deco design, and it sits right on the water. And from what I've heard, the locals actually call it Gotham City. I had traveled a really long way, and I was excited to get going. It was perfect to start with Matt for my Australian tour because he's just so friendly, really easygoing, and he's also really, really talented. I thought he had a lot of good things to say. I hope you enjoy this episode. All right, Matt, thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
I cannot get over this view.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely breathtaking.
We were just commenting about how this is it's got to be this relaxation and source of relief. You say you work a lot and you've got a lot of great projects going on, so you can chill out by having this backdrop.
Totally. I mean, it's having my laptop on this desk and looking out is kind of a bit of an escape for me when I do get a bit overwhelmed. I mean, I work a hell of a lot. So it's nice to be able to have this outlook. And I mean, that's kind of Sydney to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the basis of what I'm doing in terms of my branding is reflects this, especially with the gentleman's brand, the skincare company. It's very much, beaches and very open and almost relaxed.
So this is a bit of R&D for you. I mean, you're doing work by even just being a Sydney, getting into the vibe.
I'm just channeling it into what I'm doing.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from down south in Lugano, but when I was maybe 4 or 5, I moved to Manly with my father and my two sisters. And it's a very relaxed kind of beach town. It feels like it's not part of Sydney, even though it's only half an hour.
Say it's close. It's relatively
so
close.
It's literally half an hour on the ferry from the CBD. And when you go out there, it just feels like you're totally disconnected.
And the CBD stands for Central Business District?
Yes, Central Business District.
Okay.
So that's kind of the middle of Sydney and then the surrounding, I guess, Surrey Hills and stuff like that. So, yeah. But, I mean, growing up in Manly was definitely a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a surfer and I never have been, but I grew up sailing, so I've always been on the water. And I think I always tend to be close to water, even though I'm not very active in it all the time. Like, I'm totally not a surfer or a bodyboarder. I'm definitely more a land person per se, but I mean, right now we're in Elizabeth Bay, close to the water, and that's kind of I guess where I feel most at home.
That's cool.
Looking at it,
right?
You know,
when did you make the move to Sydney and what was the catalyst?
In terms of moving into CBD, I finished school and Manly's fantastic, but I felt like in terms of a cultural hub and where I was, because I was studying at Enmore Design Center, which is in Newtown or just out of Newtown, I kind of felt like I needed to get in closer to, I was like 19 or 20. So for me, moving to the city was just a rite of passage in growing up. So I moved out with one of my good friends. We moved to Paddington, and it was kind of just it was amazing. It was great.
Some cities are really hard to break into. Is that this to be said here? And did you feel it, if it is?
To be honest, I mean, when I was growing up, I was very kind of inspired by the fashion scene. So like the Subi guys and stuff like that were all, I mean, they grew up on the beaches, but their offices were in the city, and it was kind of in moving to the city. I mean, there was that kind of click, but I never really felt a very strong, I guess, entrepreneurial or creative push. I mean, obviously, like Enmore Design Center was fantastic in meeting people that I've since worked with. You just had to find the right group of friends. I think Sydney's very cliquey as well. So, you know, I've traveled to other parts of the world where people are very happy to help you and happy to be involved in whatever capacity. Whereas I think in Sydney, it's a lot more cliquey. There's a lot of little groups. I mean, it's definitely changing now.
Uh-huh.
But when I was growing up, I didn't feel like there was this big design community, or at least I just wasn't a part of it at that stage.
So do you think this is a bit contemporary, like,
yeah,
community?
Yeah, definitely.
It's new-ish?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it is changing now. There's a lot more people, especially in my networks, are happy to help, and there is a lot more synergy and collaboration between groups. But when I was growing up, it was very... Yeah, it feels like times are changing in Sydney.
So did you feel, because Manly's so close, that Sydney... like needed to break into it and get cozy, or did it always feel like home because it's relatively near where you grew up?
It was always the same kind of thing. Sydney and Manly was kind of, it's like, it all feels like home, especially now because I've lived in, you know, a couple of different suburbs, like over in Bondi and in Manly and stuff. It definitely is all feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like I had to get into the middle of it, you know?
So now that you're in the middle of it, describe what that energy or what the city kind of gives you creatively.
It all really depends on being surrounded with people that I find inspirational.
So it's the people, not the city, so to
definitely,
speak.
Definitely. I mean, this view is definitely an inspiration for me, but I need to be surrounded by people who are doing amazing things, and that's where I draw most of my inspiration. You know, it's incredibly important to me to be working with people who I feed off and who will develop. So I definitely think the people, they're more important than the city itself. Even though we are products of the place that we live.
But I love what you're saying, because I'm thinking about recently, like, your people as a concept, and how especially creatives tend to, not all, I mean, you don't have to have a sob story, but some people do have these stories of growing up where it was difficult to find, quote unquote, your people, and that connection of feeling like you're doing the right thing and it makes sense and you're around other people who can provide more of your creative energy back to you.
Yeah.
So you have that here.
Definitely. I mean, when I was kind of growing up, I kind of work on a lot of projects by myself as well. I mean, I work with a lot of people on collaborative projects and things like that, but I still work really well when I'm just by myself, and I can develop my own ideas and that kind of thing. So it definitely goes both ways. I mean, when I moved to the city, I definitely found my people per se. I kind of felt like I didn't really have that in Manly. As much as I do now, I've kind of fallen into some really great pockets of inspiration and creativity and stuff like that.
So you work with your family.
Yeah.
How's that work? I mean.
Yeah, it's when I was seven, my mother passed away, and I grew up with my two sisters who are, you know, 6 and 10 years older than me, and my father, and they kind of became my sisters kind of became. Motherly
surrogates.
Figure to me. Yeah, totally. And I've always been really close to my father. And he's, you know, when I was growing up, he had a workshop. And, you know, since a very young age, I've always been very curious and tinkering around with him and helping him out on projects and, you know, fixing up the home and all this kind of stuff. And we have a very creative family. So both my sisters, one's a jewelry designer and one's a natural perfumer. And both with kind of a graphic background as well. My father's an engineer. Always working, so I kind of grew up in a very creative environment, and it was just a natural progression for me to want to work with my family. So I've been running.
You make it sound like it's effortless to work with them.
Well, I mean, it totally is.
That's awesome.
I want to do multiple projects with my family. You know.
How long have you had the gentleman?
So the gentleman's brand I've been running for 2.5 years. And it literally started. I mean, my sister was doing natural perfumes, amazing stuff. And she kind of came to myself and one of my really good friends and kind of voiced this idea of doing a skincare line, and at the time I was working for a company called Deus, and it was, you know, I was in a very kind of rag trade, you know, designing for a commercial company, and wanted to do something by myself, or on my own per se, not you know, not working for somebody else. So it was a perfect opportunity for us to start working together and develop something which has just gone, you know, really well. So we've been...
And you, correct me if I'm wrong, you do a lot of branding stuff with for this. So were you trained in this, or did it just come naturally, the understanding of branding?
It's kind of, I felt like it came naturally for me. I mean, I think I have a very good eye.
Because it is a lot about curation. So yeah, you need the eye.
Definitely. I was actually trained as an industrial designer. And after I left industrial design, I just didn't, there isn't enough job opportunities in Australia for industrial designers unless you're doing it for yourself. Like unless you've got your own brand, or you're kind of producing...
It sounds like your own capital as well.
Totally. It's incredibly expensive. But unless you're doing that, it's very hard. I mean, for me, it was anyway. There were just no prospects for me. And I was considering going to study at UTS, because I did industrial design or product design and development, as it's called, through Enmore. I kind of had this crossroads where I was going to further my study in industrial design and get the knowledge, more of the knowledge side of it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to jump straight into graphics. And I kind of throughout the years, I'd always been tinkering with graphics. But when I finished the diploma, it was definitely like, you know, quick decision. Let's get into graphics. Let's get into web. And I've always been really into web, especially the development side of things as well. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just creatively very curious.
Okay.
So as soon as I finished studying, it was a really good time for me to go.
Now, are you one of those kids that kind of was tinkering around with computers and sort of got it in a mechanical way?
Yeah. I mean, I
wish I was one of those.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so interested in the tech realm now as well. It's always been a passion of mine, technology. And yeah, I mean, I'm especially in the development side of things.
Uh-huh.
It's just encompassing me now, where I'm now focusing a lot of my creative energy on building services for people, apps, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And you might get that from the design, because I'm assuming, I don't have a degree in design, but I've been told that there's a lot of, like, they call it like need finding and to problem solve.
For sure.
To me, that's when anyone talks about an app, I can almost fantasize about them, you know, ahead of time, sitting down thinking, what do people need, and I have what app to make it for.
Totally. And it's...
Do you have that kind of mind, you think?
Yeah, and it's so much more rewarding doing something like that. I mean, designing a t-shirt is fantastic in its own right, but I love...
You're not changing lives.
I love the ideas of building and creating things that are actually going to help people rather than just make them look good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's kind of going back to the gentleman's brand as well. I mean, with the products, we're really trying to do great product with all natural ingredients. I mean, that's one of the, you know, the foundations of the brand is that it's all natural, because we really believe in bettering people's lives.
Yeah, for sure.
And trying to change that landscape a little bit as well of, you know, educating our consumer to turn away from synthetics and things like that. So I'm a lot more conscious of doing things that actually matter are meaningful.
Right. Has it been like a home run straight away, or did it take time to explain to people and create an audience for this brand? What were the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, for this brand, we actually landed on our feet pretty well. I mean, when I designed the brand and the products were done, we actually didn't know where we were going to sit in the market. And
because I saw your stockist and it's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean we're doing like for 2 years. I mean, we just got picked up by Barney's.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's like it's going really, really well. And when we started about 4 weeks after we launched, and we were in some kind of small surf stores up the east coast of Australia, and we were selling online, and I think we had 4 Facebook friends, and we got an email from Sarah from Colette in Paris, like pretty much like the store that you want to be in.
It's like a destination and shop.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't even know how she found this, the product.
Amazing.
So it's kind of from then, they were like our first legitimate stockers.
Well, that's the seal and approval
like from,
right there.
But from there, it kind of just, we were on, you know, in everybody's Instagram feeds, and we were, you know, we were getting this exposure.
So what do you attribute to? Would you have to say, and it's okay to pat yourself on the back if the answer was, is like, it was just a great idea, or was it because, what do you attribute to the success? Were you doing a lot of homework, or... Was it just a solid idea?
I mean, I'm drawn to, my personal style is very, I'm very drawn to European design. And that's kind of what I wanted to convey in the packaging, but keep it very simple and very easy. And I think it's a product that people see and they immediately, the packaging brings them in. So I think in that respect, we have done really well as a brand in creating this very simple, easy to understand product, which I think is really important these days. I mean, people...
Simplicity?
Yeah, and authenticity as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're not making false promises. It's literally just, you know, it's a face wash for guys made with all natural stuff, mm-hmm. you know. So in that respect, the branding, I think, really was the easy sell. But now that people are actually using the products, the formulation is just fantastic. I mean, people are now understanding that it's a great product.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is a combination of the two, but the branding is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need to, especially now with the internet, I mean, you need to be on point with branding because there's so many brands out there now. It's such a saturated market.
And you're also hitting a identity or image within your brand that I think is very contemporary and important, the modern man. And
for sure.
And dictating and drawing and creating this image is, in my opinion... And in my country, I feel like it's not properly illustrated an authentic and appropriate and fair modern man. Oftentimes, we have these old assumptions and these old archetypes and they're really quite awful. And I think that there's a lot of guys that just don't fit into that box. And it's like, where do we go?
Totally.
They're not represented properly in movies. And so I think it's great that that's kind of what your brand is doing as well.
Yeah, we're trying to cater for, you know, quite a wide audience. I mean, we're trying to cater for every man, really. Like, we're not really pigeonholing ourselves with the whole slick back hair look and that old Americana, you know, heritage brand idea. We're, like, in our marketing, we actually don't really show a man's face. And that's kind of the prerequisite for our marketing and our videos and our photos. We try not to actually put a face to the brand in a way that a guy can look and go, oh, that's not really me. You know, we're trying to make it so it's available for everybody. And I think that's a really important thing as well. I mean, definitely a focused idea is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're just trying to get it out. And
so you're in love with your product as well, which really helps.
Yeah, I mean, I use it religiously.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't in love with it, I wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
That's also the other thing. My attention span with product is quite short. As soon as the love falls out of it, I have to leave.
Mm.
I have to pivot. I have to change. And I think that's been testament to my skill set in terms of, you know, I know photography. I know, you know, we co-directed that film. I know web and a graphic. I mean, I'm always kind of pivoting and trying to keep myself very occupied.
So with this occupation and this doing a bunch of different things and being multidisciplinary, like, where does that come from in your mind? Like, are you a quick study or are you just, like, insatiable when it comes to information?
I'm just incredibly curious.
Mm.
And I can learn very quickly. So if something excites me, I'll literally jump online and I will do as much research as I can. But very quickly, I don't read, you know, tomes and you know, big kind of literature. I skim and I kind of find things that are most relevant to me. I mean, web development and design is a really good example. Because to get into web design, I didn't study at all. And I've been doing it for 6 years. And I'm now working in quite advanced languages at the moment. But when I started, I was running a jewelry line when I was 18. And I didn't have any money whatsoever. I was totally broke. I was a student. And I needed a website. And all I did was literally jump online and find research the things that I needed to get that project done. So I'd only really find the exact pieces that I would need. I wouldn't learn the whole subject.
I see.
So I created this website, which was, I mean, it's still one of my favorite websites because I didn't understand grid systems. I didn't understand all of these guidelines that people, you know, it was a very free-flowing concept, which was amazing. And from there, I kind of worked for friends and developed my skill by just learning what we needed for that project mm-hmm. at that time.
But you also seem to have a really healthy sense of confidence enough to know when to attack versus, I think all too often people hold back because they think they're not ready or it's not enough.
Totally.
And you seem to not be bothered by that boundary and you just blast through it.
I have to jump in headfirst. I can't go in safe. Because if I go in safe, I don't produce good work.
Oh.
I work very well under pressure, and I kind of, I need to jump in. I need to pivot and go, all right, let's do this idea. Let's execute this. Let's go and film this video. And I've never done a video, to this extent before.
But so you think positioning yourself into this, it forces you to actually make
totally.
Good work because you have no choice. You've painted yourself into a corner.
Totally. I mean, you kind of have to produce, but that's when I work the best.
Yeah.
And that's where I draw great inspiration from those processes of going, I mean, it's kind of like starting a new job as well. Going for a job which is challenging is incredibly important,
Yeah.
You have to keep learning. And
yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to do. In every role that I do, I'm trying to learn and better my skill. I'm never stopping to be comfortable with where I was. I had once in a previous job, and it was security was a very heavy burden.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hit the glass ceiling in a previous job. Creatively, I couldn't go anywhere else in that role, and I became quite static. I wasn't learning. I was just going for security. And suddenly I realized maybe a year too late and totally had to change the way that I was working. I could not stay doing what I was doing anymore. It was just killing me creatively. I wasn't inspired. I wasn't doing great things.
Mm-hmm.
And I went free. I broke off and went freelance. And it's been incredibly rewarding for me
mm-hmm.
to now set my own hours and do what I really want to do and feel uncertain and feel like I don't know, where I'm going. I think mm-hmm. it's unreal.
So was it just good timing to launch the Gentleman's Facial brand, or did you actually know how good of timing, like it was meant for the marketplace? Was it personal timing or professional? Like, or was it timing for the product? Do you know what I mean?
They just fell together really well. I mean, we hadn't planned it at all. Like, we didn't have timelines set. It was very grassroots. It was very like, hey, we've got this idea, let's design, these products, do the formulations, get like a small batch done and let's just see how it goes. And that was literally, it was really good because it was like that though, because it was organic and I didn't feel the pressures of having these crazy deadlines and it goes both ways. Both is good. I mean, having a deadline is definitely necessary and we have deadlines, but it wasn't, I don't know, it just had this really organic flow which made it, I mean, we just launched it and I guess subconsciously for us, because we were circulating the industry as well. I mean, we were kind of through working for Deus and going through those kind of channels, the rag trade. We kind of understood that there was a market for men's.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any exploration into your competition? Because I'm asking because I've found it to be whenever I've done any branding work with some artists, I've noticed that sometimes they feel really like resistant and feel some type of way about kind of being exploring too much about what other people are doing. And I've gotten this like, I just want to worry about my thing. And it's like, it's actually kind of necessary to a certain extent to know what everybody else is doing.
Definitely.
You need to get into it at all?
You need to respond to the market and you need to understand what's being done and what you can do. I think you need to be aware, but I don't listen per se. Like I only really do what I, what me and the other two co-founders really believe in. And I think that's incredibly important as well. I'm not doing the brand for other people and it sounds very selfish, but I'm doing it because I get joy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, a really important facet. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn it into a brand that is reactive
mm-hmm.
to what's happening in the market. I kind of want to be, I don't know, maybe a trendsetter in a way, but
mm-hmm.
That's kind of my drive. I'm doing what I want to do.
So you're talking about having all this genuine joy from work and you're having all these different roles and hats that you like to wear, which is amazing. do you have hobbies and non-work things in your life? Or do you work all the time?
I used to. I mean, I grew up skateboarding and I was diehard, absolutely diehard. Loved it. And I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, I kind of just stopped doing that. I mean, maybe I just didn't want to break any bones anymore.
Right, right.
I don't know what it is, but...
The fear of falling.
You know, yeah, totally. I feel very lucky because I love what I do. And I don't consider like a 9-to-5, or I don't consider my work to be necessarily, you know, the work that everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I get a lot of joy out of it. You know, I kind of, when I start on Monday, I'm excited and I've been thinking about starting on Monday, or, you know, not that I even start on a Monday, you know, maybe I'll work through all weekend, but there definitely needs to be a balance. And I definitely do have a balance in some respects, like personal life is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get to a stage where I was working too much, and, you know, I was working out of the bedroom. I had a, you know, when I just went freelance, I had the office in the bedroom, and I live with my girlfriend and a couple of other people as well in a big share house.
What was that moment of awareness look like when you realized this is too much and you have to make a change?
There was just, I just wasn't spending enough time with the people that really mattered to me, which is incredibly important. I mean, you know, I was constantly working. I mean, I was going through a big period of knowledge and learning as well.
Mm.
And I was just very encompassed by this drive, because I'd just gone freelance. I was working out of the bedroom. I was working until midnight. I'd wake up early. I'd work all day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't as healthy as I had been. I started to, it started to really take a toll, especially, on personal life. So there definitely needs to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too far on that side. So I now have a studio that I work out of, and I have...
Oh, it's separated from your living
totally,
space. And
totally.
You thought and you felt that was necessary to keep the balance.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
I can totally see how it bleeds into and how it can go wrong.
And I mean, short term, it's great.
Short term,
it's fantastic.
Right. And a lot of people do it also because it's financially viable.
Totally, totally. Yeah. And I could not afford to... I mean, as well, I just couldn't afford to... I'd just gone freelance. I had a couple of clients. I couldn't really afford to get a studio anywhere. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I've been working on some very solid projects recently, which have allowed me to go into a studio, and I've hired another guy to work with me, and it's kind of getting to a stage now where I feel like I'm professionally and personally getting back on top.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm exercising a bit more as well, and it's incredibly important.
Yeah, so I mentioned this confidence that I've noticed. It's really great, and you talk about this joy and, you know, how blessed you are to love what you do. But I really like to understand people's, you know, dealings with crossroads and difficult times, because it's not always sunny days. And I really want to share that on the show. Is there uncertainty that you deal with at all? Because you seem to have this is what I'm going to do. It needs to get done, and not think about it so much, which I think is sometimes a great way to do it. If you can keep your mindset stuck on that, because sometimes people will idle and worry and get, fall off.
That's how I deal with the uncertainty, though. I mean, we all do have uncertainty in, you know, no matter the job, no matter what the situation is. But I respond very quickly. And I think it's very important to, when you are uncertain, pick a path and go hard at it and give everything you've got. I mean, it's kind of going back to jumping, head first.
Mm-hmm.
I have had uncertainty. I mean, leaving my old job and going freelance is incredibly hard.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people can survive doing that, especially in my close network. I've had a lot of people that have gone freelance and then returned to a 9-to-5 job. You know, it's definitely not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the point is to really, just pivot quickly and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Are you this savvy around failure too? Because you seem pretty cool-headed about uncertainty. How do you process failure?
Failure is a hard one.
Or does it not even feel like failure because you just keep chipping away until it works?
I mean, you have to fail, and failure is a good thing. It's
easy to forget that it's a good thing.
Totally. Oh, totally. And it's very easy to say as well. I mean, actually failing is, there's been a lot of projects that I've done and haven't completed. But you just have to keep going. I mean, that's, to me, a telltale of somebody who is really great.
Mm-hmm.
You must fail.
Yeah.
You kind of must be able to know what to do.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of... Failing is not a bad thing.
I have this theory that I think is really funny. I don't know if you'll agree, but sometimes I think the worst thing that can happen to somebody is have a natural skill because you don't know where it's coming from. You just do it so well.
Yeah.
When you fail, you're forced to understand what makes something work.
Totally.
And you can break it down.
Totally.
When you're good at it naturally, you're just like, I don't know, I just do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of understand, exactly what not to do the next time you go.
So I love to give people the opportunity to talk about what is hot right now that's got you really excited, a project that you're working on that people can check out or understand you better or look forward to that you're working on.
At the moment, I mean, the projects that I'm doing at the moment are, it's kind of like a social shopping platform. It's called Want.
Is it live?
It's live. It's wvnt.co.
Okay.
And it's literally a pasteboard of, it's kind of like Pinterest for products.
Okay.
But it's very highly curated. It's very, there was a site called Supply that shut down about 2 years ago.
And did you ever find out why? That might help you understand.
They were bought by eBay.
Oh, okay. So they
and
just
then,
liquidated it because...
Yeah, they kind of integrated all of their software into the platform.
I see. It was a...
But, like, I had, like, 500 products on there or something. You know, like, I was addicted.
Yeah.
And online shopping is... I mean, I just get addicted to that kind of thing. Especially curating my own kind of page I really like as well, my own kind of style, I guess. So I built this new one over a four-day period. Between or however many days it is between Christmas and New Year,
mm-hmm.
and we switched it on.
It's a 1 week to the,
yeah,
to the day.
Yeah, and we switched it on. I'm doing it with another mate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Got 60 active users, and I think there's 300 products. And I mean, it's a hobby thing, but again, it's something that I'm very curious about, and it's building a service that I want and that I, you know.
It's interesting you say that because
yeah.
I read an article about it was written by a person who had. Created a lot of successful apps and I think was involved in Twitter and different things like that. And the theme of what he was saying was when you're making something, people make the mistake of trying to make something that thousands of people will use. And it's like, really, you just, as long as it's what one person will genuinely use, that's the formula to get
it
right.
Totally. I mean, I built it because I wanted it.
Right.
And my close network of friends, you know, they're pretty switched on, they're pretty stylish, and they kind of wanted it as well, and I kind of did it. I have no plans for this, you know.
I was going to say, that was my next question, where do you see it going? And you just deaded it right there.
I just want people to use it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I just want, I do want it to grow, but I have no master plan of, like, creating this, you know, like, next Pinterest kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's literally just, I mean, who knows where it's going to go.
That's cool.
So you were doing that, and then there's another project called Nourish. It's nourish.by. It's online.
Okay.
And we basically team up with chefs, local chefs, and we shoot 5 recipes with the chef, and then we publish them online. So we're pretty much a content creation platform, but we did Acme, and the head chef is Mitch Orr. It's just down the road, great restaurant that's just opened up. So we photographed him doing 5 recipes. The recipes are on the site. And it's kind of doing something in the food culture, and it's all based around community. You can sign up and add your own recipes and this kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. So it's interactive in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my interest with moving more into tech. But with the Gentleman's brand, I mean, it's going. We just got into Barney's, and we're kind of really pushing that side of things. We've got my sister's doing a range of natural men's fragrances, which will come out soon. And we're moving into shaving, and we're moving into shampoo and conditioners. And so
awesome.
There's a lot of... Yeah, there's a lot of kind of different avenues that I'm
and
trying
growth,
to...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's hope that keeps going.
For sure. I wish you the absolute best of luck.
Thank
this
you
has
very
been
much.
Such a great interview. I'm in paradise. This
I know,
is
I
hard
know.
To walk out the door.
Yeah,
I'm like, I might find an excuse to still hang
out. Exactly.
No, really, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.